A warm welcome to today's talk. It's the Sunday the 28th of November, or as the world's press will probably like to call it, the third day of Omicron. In other words, there's been quite a lot of concern expressed about this Omicron variant. Let's try and get to some objectivity about this. Now, I've got a lot of information about it. I think I've summarised what we know so far. The most important bit is in the first 5 minutes, so if you can stick around for that, hopefully you'll get a bit of a gist on this as to what we know so far. Now, this is the Omicron variant, as we know, the B11529. Now, we want to think about the people in the world that know most about this are the doctors that have actually treated the variant so far. And there's two of these in South Africa. So these are the ones to get to. Now, this is Dr. Angelique Cortez, South African Medical Association. I think she's the boss of that. Also a practicing clinician doctor in South Africa, first to raise the alarm on the new Omicron variant. So she's in an ideal position to comment. Direct quotes, this is a storm in a teacup. Good. Why everyone up in arms about this, she's saying. So far, we have so far what we have seen is very mild cases. This is a direct quote here, very much. This is what she's saying. And of course, she's actually treated these cases in South Africa. 17th to 18th of November, her and her medical colleagues in South Africa noticed a change in the clinical picture. So this is just what, 10 and 11 days ago, they noticed a change in the clinical picture in South Africa. Now, this was after 10 weeks of having very low numbers in South Africa, which was good. You said that gave them a good breather. But then these new cases started to come. Cases still relatively low in South Africa, but picking up quickly. For now, it's extremely mild cases that we are seeing. Again, direct quote from Dr. Cortez. Looking at the mildness of these symptoms, I think it's been missed in other countries. Interesting. Certainly other African countries, it could well have been missed. So given that it's symptomatically mild, a lot of these cases, she believes, have not come to the attention of the testers in those countries. And of course, testing in a lot of other southern African countries, with the noted exception of South Africa, is very, very limited. She says it's severely mild, just a tone of freak. I mean, it's not a medical term. She was just chatting on an interview. So basically, she's saying these are mild, very mild cases that they're seeing. Headache does seem to be a feature. Now, this is interesting, and I'm sure this will come up on Tim Spector's work over the next few months as well. What is different is the extreme tiredness. So a lot of people have been going to their doctors in South Africa saying, I'm just extremely tired, and they turn out to test positive for COVID. So headache with extreme tiredness seems to be the main clinical feature. She doesn't mention the sort of common cold, carousal type features that we're seeing in the UK now in the vaccinated population with Delta. It's headache and extreme tiredness that the doctors in South Africa are seeing so far, with body aches, which isn't surprising. Mostly men under 40s that they're seeing at the moment in South Africa. Interesting. I really think the vaccine plays a role here. Breakthrough infections, but very, very mild. So she's saying the vaccine is important. The vaccine is important, but they are seeing breakthrough infections in the vaccinated. But the good news is the infection that she's seeing in the vaccine, in her vaccinated patients and in her colleagues' vaccinated patients, the infections that they're seeing in the vaccinated are very mild. This is the report from the clinicians in South Africa. You can call over all of the hospitals in Pretoria. You will see there's not a huge influx of patients with this Omicron. So not a lot of hospitalizations, at least in the Pretoria area. If Africa is not going to be vaccinated, you will see new variants coming up. So is Africa going to be vaccinated? Well, the uptake in South Africa is about 24% at the moment for fully vaccinated, but that's largely due to vaccine hesitancy. In other parts of Africa, we're still looking well into the single digits of people doubly vaccinated, 2, 3, 4, 5%. And if the world decides not to vaccinate Africa, which is a choice we can make, then if it decides not to vaccinate Africa, then it is totally inevitable we'll be seeing a string of these variants coming from Africa. It's completely inevitable. And this particular strain probably came from one immunocompromised individual. I don't know if we'll ever know that, but that's the most likely scenario. So President Biden, Boris Johnson, Ursula von der Leyen, Scott Morrison, Trudeau, whatever that guy in Canada is called, do you want to vaccinate the world or not? your choice. Do you want to vaccinate Africa or not? You can choose to vaccinate Africa or you can choose not to bother. It's your choice. As this South African doctor so eloquently points out. So basically, Dr. Angelique Cortez, not seeing severe cases at the moment. Now, she does say this could change. She's just reporting her clinical experience over the past 10, 11 days. But it's also more than that. It's a summation of the clinical experience of many doctors in South Africa. Now, to give this some balance, and I think it's important we do give it balance now, this is another South African doctor, Rudy Matiba, head of the intensive care unit at Soweto. Now, in Soweto, I believe the vaccination rate is particularly low. South African viewers can correct me on that, but I believe there's a relatively low vaccine uptake in Soweto. And he's at this hospital in Soweto. We're seeing a marked change in the demographic profile of patients with COVID-19, says the intensive care doctor. Now, this is where it is getting concerning, and this is my main concern, that younger people are going to be more affected. We've seen this in previous pandemics, that in later waves, younger people are affected more. This is my main concern at the moment, but let's carry on. We'll say what the doctor says. Direct quote, young people in their 20s to just over their late 30s are coming in with moderate to severe disease. Now, I do not like the sound of this. Young people with moderate to severe disease in Soweto, in South Africa. Some needing intensive care. About 65% are not vaccinated, and most of the rest are only half vaccinated. So 65% of the intensive care doctor's patients are not vaccinated, and most of the rest are only half vaccinated, one dose of vaccine. So it's looking like the South Africa experience is saying that you get mild disease if you've had two doses of vaccines, very, very mild disease in terms of probability, greater risk if you've had one vaccine, and if you've had no vaccines at all, then I'm afraid it looks like you are at risk from Omicron. Now, we've interviewed people who've had vaccine side effects and all sorts of problems, but it looks like the Omicron variant probably has shifted the risk-benefit analysis for vaccination in favour of vaccination. That's what it's looking like from the tentative South African data. Now, Dr. Cortez did say they're going to know all this for sure in a couple of weeks, but this is just based on clinical experience so far, which is all we've got Sunday, the 28th of November. I'm worried that as numbers go up, the public healthcare facility will become overwhelmed, from the intensive care doctor. Let's hope not. Urgent preparations are needed to enable public hospitals to cope with the potential large influx of patients needing intensive care. Now, in Soweto and other parts of South Africa, given the low rate of people that are doubly vaccinated, this could be a big problem. Omicron variant may be responsible for as many as 90% of the new South Africa cases, so it does seem to be there in a population that's 24% fully vaccinated. So we've got a tale of two doctors here from South Africa. One, we believe, seeing mostly vaccinated patients, seeing very, very mild disease, with headache, tinnitus and body aches, but very, very mild. The other, in Soweto, an intensive care doctor, seeing patients in low vaccine area, young people with more severe disease. So that's my concern for the world's young and unvaccinated. And when we say young, we're meaning young adults, even into middle age adults, adults into their 40s. So that's the concern. So that was the most important thing. But going on, Omicron variant, 50 mutations overall, 32 mutations on the spike protein, 10 on the receptor binding domain, which we've looked at before, that actually binds into the ACE2 receptors in your cells. Now, the Delta variant, by contrast, had two mutations in the receptor binding domain. So it's quite a big difference. Now, this is me talking here. Presumed high viral load. I'm assuming you get a high viral load with this, because of the increased infectivity. So if you've got increased infectivity, you've probably got increased affinity for the spike protein for the receptor binding domain. The receptor binding domain for the host cell. It fits in better. It's a better grip. Or you've got a high viral load. So I'm presuming this has a high viral load, but we don't know that yet. Now, Professor Ravi Gupta, University of Cambridge. Beta, which of course was the original South Africa variant, was all immune escape and nothing else. So we're worried about it causing immune escape from people that have been infected and from the vaccines. Delta had infectivity and modest immune escape. This has the potential. This potentially has both to high degrees. So it's got the worst, potentially the worst characteristics of both. So again, to bring more balance, the theoretical reasons why it could be bad because it could have immune escape and high infectivity. And of course, the reason that the world didn't get a beta pandemic was because the Delta variant outcompeted it. So the Delta variant actually did us a favour in getting rid of the beta. US response, it's probably already in the US, I'm afraid. I think that's fairly inevitable. Don't know, but I suspect it is. In New York state of emergency, Africa travel restrictions start on Monday. I'll let you decide if that's soon enough or not. Africa restrictions don't start till Monday, so everyone's trying to rush back. Bit of a farce, really, isn't it? US citizens are going to carry on to be allowed back. Separate matter, Transport Security Agency, 2.3 million people travel for Thanksgiving on Wednesday. But of course, this would likely result in an increase in numbers from Delta. Perhaps Omicron, if it is in the States, which it probably is probably not there in high numbers yet. Because I think the balance of probability is that this did arise in Africa. I think that's the overwhelming balance of judgment at the moment. Going on, Germany, two cases of Omicron confirmed in München, in Munich. Enter Munich Airport on the 24th of November, I'm afraid. Czech Republic confirms first Omicron case in a woman from Namibia. So again, the Africa connection. Italy, one Omicron infection coming from Mozambique. Israel has closed down the borders to non-Israelis and is taking drastic measures. And he's reintroducing tracking on mobile phones. I'm just hoping the Israelis don't know something that we don't. I suspect not, that the current head of the state in Israel and the Israeli state have got a record of taking very severe measures against coronavirus. So it's probably just consistent with that. UK response. Well, Brentwood in Essex, we've got a case. Nottingham, there's a case. These two cases are linked, apparently. We don't know how they're linked, but they're linked. We're grateful to the South Africans for their information and proactivity. Official thanks from the UK Prime Minister. And that is worth something. And that has to be mentioned, that South Africa has got very good surveillance, excellent transparency. If only all countries in the world had the same transparency as the South African science does. So congratulations, South Africa. They also have excellent data gathering facilities, so they will have definitive answers on this soon, within about 2 weeks. And I would predict that South Africa is going to be the first country in the world to give definitive information on how much more transmissible, how much more pathogenic Omicron is. That's where the information is going to come from first of all. So they're really on top of this, and it's quite impressive. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said it spreads rapidly, can be spread between people who are both doubly vaccinated. So there you go. If you have it and you're doubly vaccinated and I don't have it and I'm doubly vaccinated, you can give it to me. It's that simple. It's going to spread amongst the doubly vaccinated. Some immune escape, meaning the vaccines might be less effective and people that have had natural infection may be less protected. We need to slow down the seeding. So the UK is being seeded and it will inevitably grow. It seems to me quite inevitable, what I know already, that the Omicron is going to displace the Delta as the global pandemic. So I'm afraid it looks likely that I'm going to be exposed to Omicron, you're going to be exposed to Omicron. The question is when. We want to be as ready as possible. And remember, it's winter now. Let me just show you out my window. You can actually see it snowing here. No ultraviolet B to speak of in the sun today. So I have increased my intake of vitamin D, and I think it's important that we optimize our immune systems, sometimes with extra vitamin, sometimes with vitamin K2 as well. But I personally increased my intake of vitamin D because I'm simply not making any, and I want to optimize my immune system for when I believe I'm going to be exposed to the Omicron variant, and I want everyone in the world to have an optimized immune system. So do consider your nutritional and vitamin D status, please. Prime Minister saying time for vaccinations and boosters, so encouraging vaccination, consistent with what the South Africa data would say. More African countries added to travel ban, red list countries now reintroduced, 10-day hotel quarantine from Africa countries. But anyone coming back into the country has to have a PCR test, isolate till then, second day. All contacts of a detected case of the Omicron must self-isolate, regardless of vaccination status. So 10-day self-isolation for any contacts of an Omicron-positive patient, regardless of their vaccination status. We're going to be increasing face coverings in public. Vaccines will give protection. Boosters will make it even better. And Boris Johnson wants to, you know, typical Boris Johnson type phase, boost the booster campaign. Okay, that can have a tick. Belgium, first case in Europe. Health Minister has said this, found an unvaccinated person, we believe. It's the Belgium Health Minister that said this first case was unvaccinated. Developed symptoms, tested positive on the 22nd of November. Young adult woman developed symptoms 11 days after returning from Egypt. So came back from, they went from Egypt to Turkey to Belgium, arriving back on the 11th, but didn't develop symptoms till the 22nd. So was there an 11-day incubation period? It's possible. It's a long one. 4, 5, 6 days would be much more expected. Or did they pick it up in Belgium? They're the options. Or did they pick it up on the flights? You would expect the incubation period to be about 6 or 7 days typically. So it may well be they contracted it in Belgium, which is what we did the correction for yesterday on the DW interviews. But what happened there on the DW interviews was I assumed there was no cases in Belgium, therefore it must have come from Egypt. But DW correctly pointed out that was one heck of an assumption, and I agree with them having thought about it. It is unlikely, really, that there'd be an 11-day incubation period. So that may mean that it came from Egypt, or it may mean that they contracted it in Belgium. More likely that they contracted it after they left Egypt and Turkey, because 11 days would be a long incubation period. Of course, we don't know, but that was the necessary balance to that. So I appreciated that input. This woman has flu-like symptoms, but no signs of severe disease. None of her household members have developed symptoms, but were being tested. So we'll find out what's happening with that. Now, I think we'll go in a little bit. I don't want to drag on too much today. But Sir Andrew Pollard, director of Oxford Vaccine Group, if you look at where most of the mutations are, they are similar regions to the spike protein that we've seen so far with other variants. So these aren't new mutations. It's just that there's 32 of them all together on the spike protein. It's kind of all your bad apples in one barrel sort of thing. And that tells you that despite mutants existing in other variants, the vaccines have continued to prevent very severe disease as we move through alpha, beta, gamma and delta. So what he's saying here is, well, these mutations that we've got, they're nothing new. And the vaccine still provided protection against severe disease. And all we've got here, is all these mutations all together in one variant. So he thinks that the vaccine should still provide protection against severe disease, which is consistent with the two doctors we've looked at so far from South Africa. So he's probably right. And he is the director of the Oxford Vaccine Group. At least from a speculative point of view, direct quote, we have some optimism that the vaccine should still work against the variant for severe disease. Well, let's hope so, or we're in flipping trouble, that's for sure. Let's hope they do it. And the indication so far is that they do. So that gets a big tick. But it really needs to wait several weeks to have that conflict. Well, of course, we know that. He does go on to say it's extremely unlikely that we'll see a reboot of the pandemic. Extremely unlikely that a reboot of the pandemic in a vaccinated population like we saw last year is going to happen. So he's optimistic. So that looks good. The process of how one goes about developing a new vaccine are increasingly well oiled. So if we need a tweaked vaccine, we can get one, is what he's saying here. Now, I think the vaccine companies did say recently this will take 100 days. So it's not quick. We're looking at 3 to 4 months to develop an Omicron-specific vaccine. Won't be quick. Hundreds of passengers arriving from Amsterdam from South Africa. They sat on the tarmac for 4 hours while they worked at the Dutch authorities, wondered what to do with them. Two flights, 61 passengers tested positive for COVID, for SARS-CoV-2. I mean, wow, 61 tested positive from South Africa. Now, we don't know definitively yet whether these are Omicron variant or not, but the deletion of one of the parts of the test, the S gene dropout deletion on the test, we believe is present in at least some of them. So some of these very probably have Omicron mutations. And later today or latest tomorrow, we should get the definitive genomic testing back. But I am predicting that at least some of these will be Omicron positive. They're in a quarantine hotel waiting for their assessment. Now, I have got quite a few further things to say about it, but I think that's probably enough. That gives us kind of a gist. I don't want to bore you on a Sunday. I have got a cold at the moment, as you probably noticed. So, of course, coryzal symptoms are very likely in people that are vaccinated. And I have had my 2 doses of vaccine, and I had the booster. I've had 2 Pfizers. 11 weeks apart, and then it was 6 months as of last week. So I had the booster last Saturday. That's 8 days ago. So that should be starting, hopefully, to have some beneficial immune effect now. Thankfully, I seem to be okay at the moment. Couldn't get the shot aspirated, unfortunately, but that's a different story. The giver of the vaccine wasn't familiar with the process. It was extensively discussed, believe me. And he has gone away to look it up. Anyway, just to... Here we are. So I did a COVID test yesterday. Of course, this is a lateral flow test. So as we see, as of yesterday, I was COVID negative. And I'll decide whether I need a PCR test. But looking like the controls lines there and the test line is not. And aren't we fortunate that we can test so readily in the UK? Wish that every part of the world could have such insights and such vaccine facilities as I personally have enjoyed. So there we go. Looking like mild disease in the vaccinated, risk of more severe disease in the unvaccinated, particularly concerning that younger people do now seem to be more at risk. And in my view, this has changed the risk-benefit analysis for getting vaccinated. I just wish people would aspirate it properly, and I believe that would reduce the side effects, but that's not going to happen, or not happen anytime soon, at least in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in Europe. So that's where we're at, and do optimise your immune system. Get good nutrition, do consider your vitamin D status, do think about K2 if you think you might need that. Vitamin D is probably the main vitamin that we're short of this time of year. Nutritional status, get exercise, keep the alcohol down, don't smoke. Enjoy as good a mental health life as you can. And optimise your immune system as best you can, because it looks like Omicron is coming. But it looks like, for most of us, what we can say at the moment, especially in the highly vaccinated countries, although this will spread through the highly vaccinated countries from what we know at the moment, the disease is likely to be extremely mild in the fully vaccinated and triply vaccinated population. That's what we know at the moment. If anything changes, I will be telling you straight away. But that is the summation of my understanding at the moment. So let's try and keep this objective as we go forward. Thank you very much for watching on a Sunday.